Hills Church family, hope you are all staying well and safe.
Hi everyone, it's Sandy sending greetings from Broadview Heights. Well, I guess Mother Nature wants us to know it's December. Enjoy this winter wonderland, be safe, stay warm, and be well.
Good morning, Hope. It's hard to believe it's been almost a year since we've met together in church. I miss you all. I've been keeping busy reading and cleaning and sorting through all my junk and playing some pickleball and with just four of us and wearing a mask. So I hope all of you are staying safe and hope we can meet soon and have a blessed Merry Christmas.
Good morning. Welcome to Hope from wherever you are joining us at today. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship together. First, our Advent Bible study is via Zoom on Monday evenings, and that information is distributed digitally each week. If you're not getting that and would like to be getting that, please let me know so that I can ensure it finds its way to you. We still have some Advent take-home kits. If you would like one to get in on the party, just let me know as well, and I can drop it off. Also, we still need some help decorating for Advent. If you have ornaments for our tree, or we need peace and joy for our altar for the upcoming weeks. So if you could track that down and bring something that represents that for you to help us with our weekly decoration, I would appreciate it. Finally, a reminder that our Sunday school is online each Sunday morning. You can find those videos by going to our website, placing your cursor over the Sunday School tab but not clicking on it. You'll see two options appear, Junior Church or Youth Sunday School. Click on the one that you need, and then you'll find the video for that week and the previous weeks contained therein. So hopefully you'll join us for Sunday School each Sunday as well. Now let us take a deep breath and prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worship as we listen to our prelude.
A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Speak to us, Lord, as you promised through your prophets Isaiah and John the Baptist. Come to us now. May all the barriers be removed so that we can receive your word and worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We light this candle as a symbol of the love of Christ. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ the way. May the word sent from God through the prophets lead us to the way of salvation. O come, Emmanuel.
Please join us in the hymn, O come, Emmanuel.
Come now to our time of prayer. Please join with me in our unison prayer. Gracious God, help us to meet you as you come to us. Help us to prepare your way in our lives and to announce your coming in love to others. Take, O God, what we give and transform it to your glory. Take, O God, what we do and transform it to your acting. Take, O God, what we say and transform it to your singing. Take, O God, what we live and transform it to your creating. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear too our prayer for those rough places in our lives and in the lives of others that we name before you. Fill the valleys with your light, level the uneven paths with your grace, and grant that your Spirit might so move us and others that your saving presence might be visible to all. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, on this Sunday of preparation, this Sunday which celebrates your peace, help there to be peace in our lives and peace in our churches and peace in our world. Where we have sinned, move us to repentance and help us confess to those who have grieved and seek their forgiveness. And where others have sinned against us, help us to trust in your vindication and grant that those who have hurt us may see your light and be made new in Christ. Lord, hear our prayer. As we lift up all of these things to the Lord our God and continue our attitude of prayer, let us do so in silence. Reflection as we listen to our music of prayer. Lord, we gather this day and we lift up much to you. We may not be physically together in this space, but we know that we are together where we gather ourselves in spirit. You, O Lord, bind us together in ways seen and unseen. For we are the body of Christ, even though we may be broken. We are made whole and brought together through you. We lift much up to you today, Lord. We lift many up to you. But especially we name before you Don Harvey and Pastor Pete Bellamy, who died of COVID this week. And we pray for Reverend Deb Quillen and her husband, who are both in the hospital with COVID. We pray for all those in our congregations, in our districts, in our conference, our country and in the world, both within and without within and outside of our denomination of the United Methodist Church, we pray for all of those, Lord, who have been affected by this plague that has attacked us. We pray for the strength to make a difference. We pray for the courage to help make a change. We pray for all those who respond with selfishness that they would see the error of their ways and recognize the calling to love their neighbor. God, be with us in these days. Advent is a season of preparing for the light to come into our midst. It begins in darkness, and each week we add a candle to slowly bring the light back into the world. And Lord, we need your light. Rekindle it within each and every one of us. Restore our souls. Lead us before still waters. And anoint us to the hard work of ministry and discipleship and journey in these days. We ask all these things in the name of the one John pointed to, Christ Jesus, your living word. Amen. And as John pointed us to Jesus, so too Jesus pointed us to God, that we would draw closer to the Lord. And then he taught us many things to help us on our journey, and especially he taught us the importance of prayer. And in doing so, he gave us a prayer to pray, so that if words may fail us, we would have these to fall back upon. And so we pray them as we were taught them, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Now for our children's moment today, we're going to talk about love. Now, love is frequently talked about. It's the setting of many songs, kids, you know, the infamous What's Love Got to Do with It? It's a good one. Love is All Around Us. It's a fake song from a good movie. Love is the setting of many things, and today I want you to take a moment and think about somebody who loves you, but not necessarily in an obvious way. I want you to think about a small act of love that somebody did for you that had real meaning to it. The example that I will give you is when I think about what does love mean, what does it look like when it's not something, you know, like getting a gift. You know, I think it's easy to think of love as getting a gift, getting a hug, being told that you're loved, but an example of love that maybe is missed until you're older, for example. So for me, when I think of this, often what I think of is my dad. And the reason I think of my dad is because I have diabetes. And I was diagnosed with diabetes when I was 9 years old. And so when I was nine, you know, we didn't have, you know, insulin pumps that do all the things for you. You had to give yourself shots, and it was a lot more work. And so you had to mix insulin. You had to do long-acting and short-acting and do it together. And when you're nine, that's not exactly probably your forte, right? I don't think I was very good at 9 years old about making shots. And so I remember my dad would do it for me every morning. And the reason I remember it is because you had to roll the one bottle of insulin like this with your hands. And so while he would do that, the bottle would click off his wedding ring. And so I remember that clicking noise of the chink, chink, chink of the little bottle hitting his ring every time he rolled it to get my shot ready for me. And, you know, as a kid, I just thought that was something my dad just did. That was something he did because he had to. But as an adult, what I realized is that that was something he did because he loved me and he wanted me to be taken care of. And so my challenge to you today is to take some time and think about someone who loves you in a way that maybe isn't as obvious. So hopefully you'll take a minute or two and think about that today. And then my hope and my challenge is that you will reach out to that person in some way. Just say thank you. and to let them know that you appreciate a small thing that they did. Because that's kind of what we're going to talk about with Jesus today and with John the Baptist, is that this love of God is not something that is necessarily big and obvious. Sometimes it's small, but very important. So take some time today and think about that, and then thank those people in your life. Let us have a word of prayer. God, thank you for those people that love us in less obvious ways. Help us to recognize where they are and to let us give them thanks for that work and that love. Amen.
The first lesson this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak compassionately to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her compulsory service has ended, that her penalty has been paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is crying out, 'Clear the Lord's way in the desert. Make a level highway in the wilderness for our God.' Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be flattened. Uneven ground will become level, and rough terrain a valley plain. The Lord's glory will appear, and all humanity will see it together. The Lord's mouth has commanded it." A voice was saying, "Call out," and another said, "What should I call out? All flesh is grass. All its loyalty is like the flowers of the field. The grass dries up, and the flower withers when the Lord's breath blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass dries up, the flower withers, but our God's word will exist forever. Go up on a high mountain, Messenger Zion. Raise your voice and shout, Messenger Jerusalem. Raise it, don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, 'Here is your God. Here is the Lord God, coming with strength, with a triumphant arm, bringing his reward with him and his payment before him. Like a shepherd, God will tend the flock. He will gather limbs in his arms and lift them onto his lap. He will gently guide the nursing ewes." May God add a blessing to this reading.
Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. "Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I am is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. One of the blessings of reading multiple scriptures is when you can read them together and they inform upon one another. Today we get that. We get our Isaiah passage, and then directly after it, we get this in Mark. Happened just as I was written, just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. And so we get to be people who know the Bible really well for a moment. I'm not often one of those people, in so much as if you said, as it's written in Isaiah, I'd say, yeah, I know that prophecy's in there, but I probably can't chapter and verse it for you, but if I look it up. And yet today we all get to just know in the moment exactly what Mark is talking about because we just read it. Recently, in order to take time away, I took a week of vacation and I spruce it in here and there when Nora's not keeping me busy. I've been watching the Marvel movies. So all the Marvel movies, all of them. From the first Iron Man, which was the first one eons ago, so long ago, all the way through Endgame. So I've, you know, the whole thing. The only thing I haven't seen, I think, is Iron Man 3, so I guess I need to watch that. So what's interesting is there's all these references in these newer movies that go back to the older movies that I didn't catch until I watched them real close together. And then I'm able, because I watched Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and then I watched Civil War, and I'm like, I see what's going on. I see how this all, these little jokes that are here and all this, it all ties together so well. But if we don't read it close together, if we don't watch them close together, we might miss it. And so today, we have Isaiah, we have Mark, and they're talking to one another and talking to us. We get to be in the joke, the story, the narrative. We get to understand it in a way we might not have before because we don't focus only on the gospel. We don't focus on John's weird habits and his odd job. Instead, we get to read all of it in totality and see that it's not that John is an odd duck, but that John is a voice that fulfills. He is one who lives into his calling. He is a messenger of love. He would have to be a person of love to do what he does. Can you imagine going to somebody and then telling them all the sins, all the terrible things that you've done, for them to respond with, "You are forgiven, go forth being new"? Most of us would not have the confidence, I think, to go to somebody who we probably don't know and tell them all the terrible things about ourselves. I'd be too worried that it would probably end up on somebody's social media or a blog post or make the news. Local pastor told random guy on street blank, you know, hey, ooh. It would be hard to have the confidence to go to someone and confess all that to them. But John knows his calling and he is a messenger of love because people will tell him all of this terrible stuff and he does not gossip about it. He does not spread it. He does not make notes about it to use it for leverage later when he needs something. He simply takes it in and passes it on and releases them from their burden and says, "Go forth being new." And this is not something that is private. It doesn't say that they met with John and it was just John and them. It says everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River. They were all close together. You could hear what the other people around you were saying. You could hear them confessing their sins. And that takes courage to confess our wrongdoing. It takes courage to know that others are going to hear about it, but to say to ourselves, it's more important that I show that I was wrong, but that now I want to move forward, than it is to hide that away and hope that no one will ever find out about it. It is better to repent for our own missteps than it is to carry them hidden, John says. Because he is trying to help us prepare for the way. Prepare for the one who is coming so that when we meet him, we may be ready to receive the good news and not shy away from the good news because we are ashamed of that which is within us. We are called to live into that covenant, here and now. On Sundays, we are called to give to the Lord that which we are ashamed of and make confession and repentance with God for our sins. We are called to atone for the wrong that we have done, so that when we encounter Christ and invite him into our hearts at Christmas, all of the stuff that cluttered it up is gone and out of the way, so that we have room. Think about your attic. No. Think about your grandparents' attic. There we go. Think about how much stuff is in your grandparents' attic. And imagine that Jesus came to you and said, I'm here. I need some place to stay. Can I use your attic? And then you have to say, oh, yes, but can I clean it out first? It's got some stuff up there. There's some old scarves, some old movies, probably some creepy-looking dolls, all kinds of stuff. If you just give me a few weeks, I'll get that ready for you, Jesus. I'm going to have to call HGTV. They're going to come in here. They're going to hang some lovely drywall, put some shiplap, maybe build a bump out so we can get you a skylight. It'll be beautiful, Jesus, but just give me time. No, John comes to tell us and give us a heads up. You need to make space. You need to get rid of all this stuff. You need to atone and repent for what you have done so that when the one who is coming after me arrives, you are already ready. You have a chance. And then what's fascinating, we'll see, is that Jesus gives us more chances. But John gives us one of the first chances. He says, learn from your mistakes. You may say to yourself, I have not yet worn a mask anywhere that I've gone, so why start wearing one now? Well, I imagine John the Baptist would say to you, repent from your sins, learn from your mistakes, and also, not too late to start wearing a mask. John the Baptist is the voice that fulfills the prophecy because he comes and he says, none of us is permanent. None of us is forever except for the Lord our God. And when we meet him, who and how will you be ready? He goes out and he challenges people to make right and to make new themselves so that we would be ready. That we, out of love, would get rid of all the things that clutter us down so that we could make room for the one who is coming, who will bring with him the Holy Spirit, and who will indwell within us so that we could be lifted up and restored to right relationship with the Lord our God, that we may dwell in his house forever. Amen. Let us join in our hymn, Wild and Lone, the Prophet's Voice. find ourselves now in our time of offertory, and I know that we cannot be together to physically place our gifts on the altar, though if you drop them off early enough this week or today, they have made it there, but that also we offer up ourselves to God, and that when we gather, we often stand and direct ourselves towards the Lord, and we feel right now like we're not able to do that, that we're not here in front of the altar, except that you are and God is with you wherever you are. So as we give to the Lord of ourselves and our lives and our prayers and our service and our witness and our gifts and our praise and our presence, we know that God is with us. So let us engage in a moment of silent reflection as we offer up all that we are and all that we have to the Lord. Now let us join in our doxology. Desires good for all creatures, satisfy our hunger not just for food, but for freedom, truth, justice, and love. O risen Christ, you revealed yourself to us as one who gives to the poor and cares for all people. We dedicate our lives and our offerings to your service. O Holy Spirit, bless these gifts and abide in our hearts, so that our gifts and our actions may live out our faith. Glorify God and bring forth a fruitful harvest for the kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As you prepare to continue your journey this day, may you know that love came down at Christmas, and that now we prepare ourselves to receive that love. So let us make him room, that when Christ our Lord comes to be with us again, we would be ready, so that we would be transformed. Amen. Let's join in our benediction response. That was the old one. Let us join in our new Advent benediction response, number 204.